Scripture is the same one I've been using for the last few weeks, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand, stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And this is our Lord's Word. A little boy one time made a little boat that he just loved, and his family went on a vacation. They had rented a cabin. Now, it wasn't by an ocean or a lake or a sea or anything like that, but there was a nice stream in the back, and it was a place they loved. He'd take the boat, and he'd float it up and down the stream on a string. And one day, the string broke, and the boat floated away, and he and his father looked and looked and looked for it and couldn't find it. A little later in his hometown, he's walking by one of these pawn shop-type places. What does he see there? The boat. He went into the man and told the man about the boat, and that wanted to have his boat back. The man said, I don't care, kid. If you want it, you got to buy it. He went home, opened his piggy bank, and he had enough money, and he went and bought it. And you know what he told his parents? Now it's doubly mine. I made it, and I bought it. Isn't that a beautiful analogy of what God has done for us? We are created in the image of God, formed in the Garden of Eden. But our first parents went their own sinful way, and God looked for them. Today, God has not given up looking for the sinners. He has not forgotten us. He keeps still searching us out. He keeps working to keep us in the paths of righteousness, to help us. He bought us back with the precious blood of Jesus, which is shed on that cross at Calvary. We are doubly His. He made us, and He bought us. And we have a choice to make. Will we honor this loving kindness by a life of humble obedience and service? I hope we all do, and I know we all strive to do that too. But we're facing a battle with our arch enemy, Satan. That's why God has given us this armor to wear, so we could stand firm and we can resist. We have looked at the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the willingness of the gospel's peace, and the shield of faith. And remember, the shield isn't just the little one, it's the big one. Now we come to the helmet of salvation. And we found with the other pieces, it's the practical outworking and not just the theory. So we'll find this with the salvation. Salvation for us is more than just the aspect that when we die, we're going to go to heaven and be with the Lord forever. Salvation is not something static that just happens to us, then we can forget about it and say everything's okay in my life. Salvation is an ongoing issue. We have to, as Paul says, work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. Our deeds will never merit us salvation, nor thinking right thoughts. If we want to be saved by our deeds and thoughts, we can't even make one mistake. We have to be 100% pure, just like Jesus was. And that isn't going to happen to us humans. Salvation is only in and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, when soldiers went into battle, they would always make sure they had their helmet in place. It would have been absolute foolishness not to do it. The Roman soldiers had two types of helmet. One was a thick leather covered with pieces of metal to ward off. The other was a cast helmet. And when you watch the movies, that's the only one they really show you ever wearing it. One of the main reasons they had this is the broadsword. That was a sword that's about 4 feet long, and you use two hands on it. And the idea was to cleave the other person's skull. That's why they wore such helmets. The helmet protected their head. Inside is the brain, our mind, which is our thought center, the center of our processing. The helmet of salvation doesn't refer to our being saved. Our first initial salvation with Christ is actually putting on the helmet. We could not be in the Lord's army if we weren't saved. And to fight against the spiritual forces of evil, we have to be on the Lord's side. It doesn't matter if he's on our side, we have to be on his side. And a lot of people may think they are, but they're not, unfortunately. As Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. In Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. As not he who is for me, as he who is not with me. We have to be with him. And we can't just sit back, because if we just sit back and say, well, let somebody else do it, we're guilty of scattering. Satan doesn't attack unless we're really working for the Lord. If we're an armchair Christian, we sit back and we just go to church and that's all we do, Satan's not too worried. The ones who aren't Christians, they're in his camp anyway. A student was in seminary in his second term of the first year. He was talking with the president. He said, no, when I first came here last September, Satan really bothered me, and now he hardly does anymore. And he thought that was good, and the president was very much alarmed, because it meant he wasn't in the battle anymore. He wasn't fighting the battle the way he should. Our salvation has three aspects to it: past, present, future. The past, we have been saved by Jesus. That's our justification. Our present salvation is what is happening now. That's the ongoing work of sanctification in our life, when we're being made like Jesus. The future is going to happen, and that's when we're with the Lord, and that's our glorification. And we're all looking forward to that. Salvation is past, accomplished. Present, ongoing. Future, secure. We have security now, but it's only even going to be greater when we're in the Lord's presence. We're in a very strong and heavy fight with the enemy. Satan is a master tactician. He uses, well, the fiery darts. He knows how to use the broadsword to try and cleave our skull. The skull protects our mind, and Satan has many weapons to attack us that way. Doubt, one of the great ones he has is discouragement and depression. Elijah faced the 450 prophets of Baal without batting an eye. He ran all the way back, and then Jezebel says, I'm going to have your head, and he ran. He was overtired. He was discouraged. And he met God at Horeb, and God spoke to him. I know how easy it is to be discouraged and get depressed, because I have experienced it. Even at the greatest moment of triumph, Satan can really attack and get us because we let our guard down. And, hey, this is going for me. And all of a sudden, bam. Ephesians 3:13, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And Revelation 2:3, you have persevered and endured hardships for our name and have not grown weary. What about all the prophets? They all had their own helmet of salvation. Jeremiah, what did he say to the Lord? I'm too young. God said, no, you're not. What about Job? In spite of all his woes, he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That's his salvation. All the way through, God works with us on our salvation. We're not to give up in the battle, not to waver, not give in to sin. Sometimes we might get weary in the battle. That's understandable. The helmet of salvation helps us. It protects us, and it keeps us. We will not give in. We will not give up. Amen? And why? Because of our eternal hope in Christ Jesus. That hope secures us. He continues to pour his life, his power, and his strength into us. And we are assured in the end of that final and great victory and a marvelous reward when we stand faithful with the Lord. Salvation is not static. It's living and dynamic. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, have you always obeyed, not only in my presence, that now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. That's why He strengthens us. That's why we work out it's for Him, not for any glory for ourselves. When we're once saved, it doesn't mean we just sit back and we do nothing. It's an act of life, this salvation. Working it out. We can't stop halfway. We can't be just content with full, just stepping into the fall and say, okay, now I've got it made. Or the little story of a boy one night who fell out of bed. His mother went up and got him up and said, what happened? He looked, I stayed too close to the place where I got in. We have to be aware of that, don't we? Moving onward and upward till all of God's plans for us are accomplished. Working out in our lives what God has worked in for His purposes. We have to work out our salvation in cooperating with our Lord Jesus Christ. He won't force us to do His work. He won't try to force us to love Him because that wouldn't be love. That'd just be again coercion. He wants us to love Him freely. But He's willing to make us willing, but He won't violate our free will. And I don't know if you ever had sometimes you don't really want to say, God, I don't know if I want to do this, but make me willing. He'll do it. In our battle, salvation is by the power and the shed blood of Jesus. And that involves all our armor. We have an ongoing power to overcome and be protected. But our minds need protection as well. For their mind, we think and we plan. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thought and meditations are carried out in our actions. The helmet of salvation refers to the mind that's controlled by the Spirit of God. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. I'm reading a book now. It's actually on evolution. And it's called The Lie. And people, when he's talking about evolution, say, this, and this. But even the Christian parents can't defend the faith to their children when they ask them. That's why we need to know the Scriptures and know them well. That is part of our armor. That's part of the helmet of salvation. Paul knew the importance of the mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promise you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to Him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Satan led Eve astray, and he tries those same tactics with us. He hasn't changed any of the tactics since Eden. Why should he? What he does works so well. He doesn't have to invent new ways. Maybe just a little different way of applying it, but it's still the same tactic. That's why we need to keep on the helmet of salvation. It includes a knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. When you heard about Christ and were taught in Him with an accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. I implore you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to let your minds be transformed. In Romans 12, to transform our minds. And the word transformed is actually the word that's used of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when He was transfigured. And it's an ongoing process. We never stop learning. We never stop growing. We never stop knowing our salvation. We need to learn the truth of God's holy word. It protects us from Satan's machinations. Remember Jesus in the wilderness was tempted. And every time Satan did something, Jesus said, but it says, it's read, it's written. Even when Satan quoted Scripture, he actually misquoted. And Jesus quoted back the truth to him. It's just not theoretic knowledge we need. It's the vibrant application, close up and being personal. We need the helmet of salvation to face life, to know who we are in Jesus Christ, to know the Lord and His help, and to know the Scriptures intimately, to be constant in daily communication with Him. This is our defense. Apart from it, we're on our own. Apart from it, we will fall. We cannot protect ourselves. We need God's help. When we seek to defend ourselves, we get caught up in ourselves, and we can get proud. And that's dangerous. Then we don't have the energy and inclination to serve others and help them. Because remember, we're in the army. I'm not just in this for myself. I'm here to protect all my brothers and sisters in the Lord's army. When we wear the helmet, we're free from self-centeredness to concentrate our energy to do God's will. Because we trust God, He will help to protect us. When we believers are victorious in the fight, we'll fight harder and stronger and longer, winning more battles. When Israel did it God's way and obeyed Him, they won the battles. If they did it their way, they lost. And eventually, because they forsake God, they even lost their land until they regained it. And we know, we need to know that we have safety too, don't we? When the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco was being constructed, the first half of the construction, they had no safety devices for the men. 23 men fell. The last half, they put a safety net in place. At that time, it cost $100,000 for the net. Only 10 men fell. But as a sidelight to that, they put out 25% more work when they knew they had that safety line. Interesting, isn't it? How true. When assured of our safety, we'll accomplish more and much more even for the Lord. Assured of our salvation, having on the helmet, we'll be better and wiser warriors. We'll want to get in the battle and not sit back on the sidelines and not be a pew warmer. And we can have great joy and peace and hope in all that God has for us. And joy will overflow in deeds of love and self-sacrifice. Keeping on the helmet is an assurance in Jesus Christ, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, depending on His strength, abiding in Jesus as He abides in us. As Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit." Then the rest of it, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." We can count on His help and His resources, but we have to have that tremendous level of commitment, self-control, and self-discipline, dedicating ourselves on a day-to-day basis to fight for the Lord. In 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 11, "By His divine power, He has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these things He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness mutual affection, to mutual affection love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you'll be kept from being ineffective, unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that he has been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. If you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:9, "To this end I labor, struggling with all His energy which so powerfully works in me." And God is working, and we work it out. And we praise God for the armor, the helmet of salvation, protecting us in the battle. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, Paul calls it the helmet, the hope of our salvation. Praise God for that. It gives us strength to live in the present no matter how tough things get. And as you know, sometimes things can get very tough for us through all different kinds of things. But we can continue in the battle because Jesus is there with us. Satan will attack in any way, causing doubts, discouragements, but our assurance is in Jesus. And Jesus is the hope of our salvation to keep us and protect us. We may not feel the helmet there, but it is there because God has said. Salvation is as sure as Jesus, so we need to put on the armor, protecting our spirit, our soul, our mind. Keeping the helmet on, Without it to fortify us, without it we don't have the present deliverance we need, without the confidence of rescue, and without hope for the future, we'll be easily wounded in the battle. With the helmet, we have a confident hope for the future, and that we will win a victory, total victory, ultimately. And even now, don't we have many victories in the Lord? Let us keep the helmet on, that our minds will be protected, our lives will be changed and victorious, and that if we get any injury in the battle, it'll be minor. May all the glory go to God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word, for its truth, for its sustenance to us. And Father, we thank you that it tells us of you and your love, of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit, our guide and counselor who lives within us to keep us. And Father, I pray that you would help us as we go forth to remember and to think about your word and to apply it to our lives. And Father, to see the people around us who need hope and encouragement, and from your scriptures be able to speak into their lives, that Father, one day all of them might come to see and know you as their Lord and Savior. And remind us daily, Lord, to keep on that armor, to give into the fight, and as our commander-in-chief to take orders from you. And Father, I pray for us as we dismiss from here tonight and as we go to our homes and the week ahead of us, that you continue to bless us with your peace and your presence. And may our hope continue to rise up. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Spirit rest and abide with you now and always. Amen.